I'm Douglas Strauss. Glad to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll discuss cats and podcasts. With Mark Maron, host of the podcast WTF. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is John Doe with There's a Black Horse, right here on Talking Animals.
There's a black horse in a photograph. Its mane blows in your face. There's a black horse in a photograph. Its mane blows in your face. Your eyes are hidden. Will you be taken? Shadow of blackbirds, as many as in a pie. The shadow.
That's John Doe with There's a Black Horse, an animal tune. To ease us into today's edition of Talking Animals, my name is Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects, the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Mark Maron, veteran comedian and cat fanatic, whose podcast, WTF, has received a tremendous splash of publicity lately, including a gigantic Sunday New York Times piece and a smaller spotlight in Rolling Stone, and rightly so. We'll find out more about this consistently remarkable program and the cats behind the scenes when we speak with Mark Maron in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Also, a bit later in the show, we'll step into the Comedy Corner. We'll play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive a t-shirt from last year's Talking Animals Festival. And we'll have a brief chat with Jennifer Anderson, Program Director, Animal Coalition of Tampa, which is a very low-cost neuterathon coming up this month, and low-cost microchipping being offered at the Talking Animals Festival. So, lots to get to. Right now, though, it's time for animal news and announcements, detailed look at items of interest in animal news, as well as announcements of events. So let's turn now to interesting and or notable developments in animal news. We'll also welcome your comments, which you can share on the air instantly by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing dj@wmnf.org. So, Let's Talk Turkey, as it were, produced by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. Our first item comes from the Denver Post. Dateline Fort Collins, a proposal to ban all stores in Fort Collins from selling pets is a step closer to being on the April ballot. Volunteers on Friday handed in petitions with 3,000 signatures from residents who backed the idea. Proponents had to collect at least 2,500 valid signatures to be eligible for a ballot slot, said Fort Collins City Clerk Wanda Krajcik. The measure is aimed at halting the use of, quote, puppy mills and, quote, kitten factories that produce pets to be placed in pet stores, said petition organizer Lori Muller, a biology major at Colorado State University. The measure would also ban the sale of amphibians, birds, rodents, rabbits, and ferrets. your thoughts. What do you think? 813-239-9663 or DJ at WMNF.org. An event coming up locally here. It's the Perfect Valentine. Hillsborough County Animal Service is putting together for Saturday, February 12th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and designed to celebrate the unconditional love of pets and learn about their heart health with Sunshine Animal Hospital and Hillsborough County Animal Service. So there's vet checks, nail trims, prizes, pet photos, pet treats, face painting, adoptions, parade, all kinds of cool stuff. That's taking place at Morgan Woods Recreation Center, 7510 Soccer Avenue in Tampa, next to Morgan Woods Elementary School. More at hillsboroughcounty.org/animal services. And have you heard about the bats? Saw this a few different places, but took this from today's Tampa Tribune. Headline, Bat Swarm Unnerves Residents. Dateline Bartow's six bats swarmed into their apartment Saturday night. Sarah Mitchell and her adult daughter, Jamila Burrell, haven't been the same since. Now they're making arrangements to move out of the Oaks Landing apartment in Bartow. Quote, I've never seen bats in our apartment before last... Before they just came out of the blue, and we don't know where they are coming from. So Mitchell, who's lived in the complex 3 years, it's kind of freaky. Bats are swarming around the apartment complex, and some have entered into the apartments, residents say. I'm still scared, Mitchell said. I won't sleep there another night. So we'll try to track the bats for you. Talking animals. Gulfport's Get Rescued, the Animal Rescue Festival and fundraisers preparing for its seventh annual event to take place Saturday, February 26th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. during the street festival. And then again, there's another event from 7 to 11 p.m. for the evening's rescue celebration. So again, like a lot of events, including our own, lots of great animal rescue groups, vendors, artists, crafters, etc., pet parade, pet care education, and more. Information you can find to get more involved, check it out or go. GulfportMA.com. That's the website, GulfportMA.com. And I also mentioned once or twice, but want to mention again just because it's pretty cool and he's a major, major figure, not to mention a past guest on Talking Animals. But Dr. Neil Bernard, founder of Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, is rolling in to Tampa at the end of the month, Sunday, February 27th. From 3:30 to 6:30 p.m., he'll be giving a talk and entitled Food is Medicine, and that's in ballrooms A and B at the Marshall Center, the USF campus. And sponsored by Florida Voices for Animals and USF Students Protecting the Environment and Animals Through Knowledge. Speak. So you can find out more with go to floridavoices.org and click on the information. There, I'll give you details about tickets, costs, and stuff, things that we can't mention on the air necessarily here. And I'll wrap things up today with a shocking inclusion of a mention about the Talking Animals Festival. What, really? Seriously? It's unheard of. I know. Anyway, starting to get a lot of action. Some cool pieces are coming together. Great food vendors. About ready to shortly to announce the band lineup. But anyway, let me getting ahead of myself so without the facts first. So the second Talking Animals Festival will be held Sunday, April 3rd from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Lowry Park Bandshell just next door to the zoo. And there will be a dozen bands or thereabouts performing all animal songs. And again, really got a very exciting lineup about ready to reveal. We'll have pet adoption there. We'll have nonprofit organizations tabling and vendors selling. And again, this question's come up once or twice. Does it all have to be animal or pet related on the vendors? And no, it does not. We welcome all types to the Talking Animals Festival. So there'll be great food, speakers, contests, and more. So if you'd like to table or be a vendor, go to talkinganimals.net or WMNF.org and click on the reference to the festival. Also, if you're interested in being a sponsor, volunteer, have questions otherwise, you can email talkinganimals@WMNF.org. All right, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. Which involves animal-oriented comedy, of course. This is Jackie Cashin with a piece called Animals on today's Comedy Corner. on Talking Animals.
But the truly crazy people in Los Angeles are literally the animal people. And before I go into it, allow me to make an announcement. I love animals. I love them. People are animals. I love people. I love the tiny animals we have as pets. I love the larger ones we eat. I love all the animals. I'm like Dr. Doolittle up here. I freaking love the animals. My husband has an iguana. It's like petting a purse, but it's a perfectly nice animal. Very adorable lizard. And, but get this, when I was a kid, of course, if you had an old dog or a very ill cat, you sadly put the dog down, put the cat to sleep. It was very sad. But they would go to Happy Dog or Cat Heaven, and you would go to the pound to get a new... And it's a circle of life. It was very beautiful. That doesn't happen in crazy Los Angeles land, where people are like, oh no, the cat's only 17, we're going to get dialysis. Are you? I have a friend of mine who has a cat that is 21 years old, and in addition to the plethora of other issues going on with this cat, it now has diabetes. And so she has to shoot it up twice a day. You know what that is? Time for a new cat. New cat twice a day? Why do you get a cat? So you don't have to do anything. That's why you get a cat. Because it poops in a box. $3,000 for diabetic cat medicine for this cat. You know what that is? That is 3,000 new cats. Because cats are free. And I have another friend of mine who has a dog, and the dog has to get a new hip, but it didn't work. And so the dog is still scooting around on a cart like Captain Pike. And let me tell you something. It is a dog. It is not ever going to be Stephen Hawking. Not ever. It's not going to write the great American novel from the cart. It's not going to cure cancer from the cart. If it can't run, new dog. New dog! And people get mad at me in L.A., and they come up to me after shows, and they're like, you don't like animals. And I said, no, I don't like you. Because you're a jackass about your pet. You got to let go, weirdo. And because what do you get with a cat or a dog? 15, 20 years. That's what you get. I didn't make that rule. If you would like more than that, turtle, 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 turtle. Tiny turtle, hat, tutu, carrying around your creepy Paris Hilton purse. You lift its head up. Adorable. Giant tortoise that could walk slowly around your backyard for 300 years and become a burden on your descendants. Turtle. Where I go to eat breakfast in LA, right next to my breakfast place, there is an animal eye care clinic. Kid you not. Animal eye care clinic. I don't have insurance, but let's get bitten some contacts. Better now or now? Better now or now?
All right, that's Jackie Cation with a piece called Animals, fittingly enough, taken from her CD, It's Never Going to Be Bread. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where there's a link to our Facebook page. You could like us if you felt like it. On our Twitter page, please follow us. And you can find announcements and ongoing updates about the Talking Animals Festival. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Mark Maron, as I mentioned earlier in the show. Mark is a veteran, highly accomplished comedian and cat fanatic whose podcast WTF has received tremendous splash of publicity lately, including a major Sunday New York Times piece and a spotlight in Rolling Stone. If you haven't heard WTF, it'll only take listening to an episode or two to see what all the fuss is about. Ostensibly, WTF chiefly involves Maron conducting a long-form interview with fellow comedians, but the conversations often roam into big topics and big ideas, emanates from the Maron's house, the so-called cat ranch, and how exactly his long-term love for cats figures into all this, we hope to find out. So, with a reminder, you can join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf. Let's welcome Mark Maron to Talking Animals. Mark!
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir. I mean, it's good morning, especially in California. Thanks for getting up early and talking to us on Talking Animals.
I tell you, I must really like you, Duncan.
Well, I know. That's cool. I mean, I'm thrilled, and maybe we should just call it, you know, maybe it can't get any better than the fact that you got up early to jump on the phone with me. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think this is it. I think just saying hi is going to be enough.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to sleep. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, it's been lovely.
Good luck with everything.
Yeah, thanks. Likewise, man. So, of course, you're speaking to us from the fabled Cat Ranch, and given the nature of the show and our shared fondness for felines, I think it's... incumbent on us, really, to ask you to maybe introduce the cats you live with, give us a little rundown on each, walk us through the feline family.
Well, just now, I've got Boomer, who lives out back. Well, he's an outdoor cat, and you know, I love the guy, but he's got to be outside, because when he's inside, He likes to pee where I eat. So he has to stay outside. Now, there's some other cat out there that just showed up that I've called, I don't really have a name for him. He's a striped stray that I literally have not seen in like 3 months. I don't know what that cat does, but I swear to you, the last time I saw that cat, it was missing part of its ear. It was kind of bloody and screwed up, and I thought he just died because he wouldn't let me come near him. But now he's back, and he looks great, so he must have just, you know, he went to the spa or something.
Hey, and he regenerated the ear?
Yeah, I don't know what, you know.
Very impressive.
It's a magic stray. What can I tell you?
Wow, well, that's why the cat ranch is so attractive, man. Those kind of things can happen.
Yeah, I wonder where he went to get reconstructed. There's some special place they go, some of these strays.
Sure.
And then the two I've got in the house are Monkey and LaFonda. Monkey doesn't go outside. LaFonda goes outside a little bit. And then there's some other white and orange one out back that I don't know if it's a stray or they just come here to eat. See, I think I put out the best grub. And then I get this reputation amongst the cats in the neighborhood as, you know, the place to kind of have a snack. And then there's some other one, a white and black one with a big face. She comes around and just sits there looking all entitled until I feed her. And that's really what the situation is. I've got three of my own, but probably about six altogether that I can't really claim, but I think they're strays and they eat here.
Well, yeah, they must. If word is out that there's good grub over at the cat ranch, I doubt those guys would or gals would have much reason to go elsewhere.
Sure. There's also word in the skunk world that we've got good food here, in the possum world as well.
Wow.
Sure.
Okay, so...
Yeah, got possums coming by, skunks. One time there was raccoons. I don't know what happened to them. There was like three... One night I heard something on the deck and I got up. And there was like four raccoons, and they're like monkeys. You know, they literally were trying to get in the door, and I'm just glad I have some boundaries because I don't know enough about animals to know that it probably wouldn't be a good idea to let the raccoons in. But I hear they're not very friendly. But I haven't seen them in a while. The possums creep me out because I look at possums. And I really try to make them cute, but there's just no way. There's just something horribly wrong with the possum. I guess they're cute for a little while, but then they're just horrendous, and I just watch them in a slightly frightened way, but fascinated.
So yeah, something went a little awry in the design phase, I think, with
yeah,
the possum.
Yeah, no, yeah. Definitely. God said, look, I'll do you a favor. You only go out at night, all right? But that's the best I can do.
That'll help everybody here. So, there's quite a bit of wildlife there, but as far as the cats, I mean, what do the cats do for you? I mean, one of the things you make really clear on the podcast is that, you know, you're struggling with some profound issues, grappling with anger, etc. And you're dealing with those things in various ways from various angles, the podcast itself, therapy. But how often do you find yourself talking to one or more of the cats or just seeking solace with one or more of them?
I have long conversations with the cats. I guess I'm sort of like my mom. You know, there was a period where I was growing up. We had three old English sheepdogs, you know, and they, you know, it took a while for her to get the names right. Like, you know, if she was trying to address you, you know, you'd be like the third one down, and there'd be dogs involved. You know, it'd be like Rag, Sammy, Mark. You know, there was never a clear distinction between animals and dogs.
Wow. Yeah. That, I mean, the sibling mix-up is not uncommon. The animal sibling mix-up is a little more rare.
Well, I come from an unusual family.
Yeah.
You know, with no boundaries and the strange prioritizing. She used to talk a lot to the animals, and she used to say, the reason I talk to the dogs is because they don't talk back.
I see. Wow. Well, that's how they moved up in the hierarchy, probably,
yeah, I
too.
Guess so. That's yeah. how they won. So I find myself talking to them a lot and probably asking them questions they can't answer. Well, they can't really answer any questions, Duncan. They're cats, but it doesn't stop me from asking them and waiting for answers. And so I have a kind of a weird relationship. And needless to say, because of my own insanity, my cats are a little twitchy.
Sure.
They're a little kooky, but they were all feral, you know.
Oh, all of them were? Because it sounded like Boomer was, but I didn't necessarily, remember that LaFonda and Monkey were, too.
No, that was the thing, man. I mean, the Boomer's, like, turns out to be the least feral. You know, we got him at a shelter when I was with my second wife. We went to this shelter, and sometimes you go to shelters, and it's just a bunch of people's old cats. Like, it looks like when you go to the shelter sometimes that people brought their old cats because they just didn't want them around anymore. And I wanted a young cat, so we picked this one cat. That was just crazy. You couldn't even put it. It was you couldn't touch it. It was nuts. And I know now that it was feral, you know, but I didn't know then that I went there and picked the wild cat. But
wow.
Monkey and Boomer, I rescued, you know, in like I rescued these five cats when I was living in Astoria, Queens, and I had no idea what I was getting into.
Yeah,
I mean, that is the story of those guys. I kept going outside. There were these five kittens eating out of the garbage. You know, every night I would walk out, in the middle of the night because I was doing radio to put out garbage, and there'd be five cats, these kittens eating out of the garbage, and I kept thinking, like, someone better deal with this.
Yeah.
You know, and then come like day three or four, I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna be the guy.
Sure.
So I trap them, Duncan. I don't have any experience with this, and I had no idea that if a cat is eating on its own, it's over. It's a wild animal. It's done. The wiring is in.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be able to pull the, like, you know, I'm your mommy thing, you know. So I trap them in boxes with cat food, you know, and I bring these boxes of cats, like two at a time, into my apartment, not realizing that I might as well brought wolves into my house.
Yeah.
And I let them go, and all of a sudden they're flying all over the place. Two of them go behind the oven, and they wedge themselves behind the oven, and they're just back there, like, hissing, you know.
Mm.
And one of them that became Monkey, he tried to jump out the window, you know, and he hit the screen, and he climbed up the screen, and wedged himself between the window and the screen for like 2 days.
Wow.
And then LaFonda, who I have Monkey and LaFonda here. LaFonda is crazy, but I know why she's crazy. She got into my house, and I didn't know I was going to have these cats running around. She got stuck on a glue trap. So I've got this wild cat
stuck
on a mouse glue trap. She didn't know me. I didn't know her, and I had to rip her off that trap and so she could run away from me. So that's why she's still nuts, but I know why I created that problem.
Yeah, that's a rocky way to start a friendship,
yeah.
Really.
And
yeah.
The sad thing is, for months, dude, you know, I could not touch these things. I could not, you know, they were just horrible.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get them back out of my house because they didn't know where they were.
Sure.
So I had four of these wild cats in my house, and it was so sad because I just wanted friends. I was all alone in New York, and I had this morning radio job. I'm like, it'd be fun to have cats. It turned into a nightmare. I started talking about it on the radio. Cat ladies were bringing me cages to separate them. You know, a woman came over and she inoculated them. Then we trapped the mother and the other kitten. We had them all fixed. So we probably did a great service in terms of, you know, curbing what could have been a wild, infested, feral cat community.
Sure.
But it was pretty trying for a few months. And I ended up with two of those. I still have two. I brought two wild cats across country.
Well, and the thing is that, I mean, that sometimes those cats are a jumping off point for comments or themes on the podcast. I mean, you know, for example, you were talking about Boomer. I'll just clean it up and say urinating everywhere. And again, you know, a running theme of the podcast is the way people are wired or the way animals are wired. So he said, you know, he's hardwired. He's an animal. There's no 12-step program to get the cat to stop urinating everywhere. But then you tied that to recognizing and saying, I think almost in the next breath, my parents are an emotional terrorist organization. And then off you were. Off you were running. So,
yeah, well, they helped me. They helped me understand things. I'm sure they become part of the material. I do a lot of material about them in my act.
For sure.
Surprise.
Well, this is Talking Animals. If you just tune in, we're speaking with Mark Maron, comedian, cat guy, and host of the celebrated podcast WTF. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call 813-239-9663 or email dj at wmnf.org. And the website for Mark's podcast is wtfpod.com. So when you're not chatting with the cats, chances are you're chatting with guests on WTF. And one of the things that's, you know, just sort of cool and remarkable about it is that not only consistently but pretty fast, the conversations, like, take flight.
Oh, yeah. Do you mean the podcast popularity?
Well, no. Well, yeah, that related to that. But I'm just saying the conversations, any conversation you're having almost with any guest now over the span of the life of the podcast, and whether you know these people well or that's your first time you sat down with them, I mean, it just seems like, you know, you introduce them to a little chit chat, and then boom, the conversations take off.
Well, I think that, you know, you talk to somebody, we're all like minded people, and I'm a pretty much, you know, wide open guy, and that's sort of what I do. I don't really have, you know, my personal boundaries around, you know, what I'll talk about or what I won't talk about they're pretty porous. So I think that once you start talking in an honest way, or maybe, like, I think if I were in an office situation, you know, I'd probably be too much information guy. And I'd be the guy that's like, you know, just, you know, try not to get involved in talking about too much, you know, like the guy who has too much, you know, just
sure.
Has too much about himself. But I think in the context of an interview, you know, when that stuff is placed right, it'll bring people to the same level, and they'll feel comfortable to talk about themselves. And I don't really use it as a device, but it just seems to happen. You know, I think that comics are generally pretty sensitive, pretty smart, pretty philosophical people that, you know, have a lot of time on their hands. I mean, we've chosen a line of work that enables us to think, you know, a lot, and some are deeper than others. But I think they have a lot to say about just about anything. So all I'm chasing, Duncan, is some authentic conversation. And if you sit down with somebody for an hour and 15 minutes, and you let it happen, it'll happen usually.
Yeah, maybe so. Having that much time, there's a lot of ground that can be covered, and that's one of the other exciting things about listening to podcasts is just where conversation that's just, you know, talk and shop about comedy and where it winds up about some pretty serious issues. And of course, now one of the more, you know, sort of poignant high profile episodes was your two part conversation with Louis C.K., which really seems to resonate with people and you know, just kind of as a meditation on the way friendships evolve and sometimes get damaged and sometimes get repaired and why. I mean, how does that resonate with you, that conversation? I mean, that just seemed like really powerful for both you and Louis.
Well, the thing about Louis is, like, I've known him 25 years, and we've been friends. We've been pretty close friends for a long time, and I know a lot about his career. You know, I remember him from when we were younger. Is my phone sound all right, Duncan?
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Making a weird noise in my head. Is that, you know, over that time, you know, because he got so successful, or I moved, or he moved, or he got divorced, or I got divorced, is that we weren't staying in touch. And, you know, I became resentful of things that he was doing. It just was a friendship that became sort of strained, and it was very hard for me to get in touch with him.
Yeah.
So when I finally got in touch with him, you know, I had the mics on, and we talked for 2 hours, 3 hours. And over the course of that, we talked about his career, we talked about our friendship, and we tried to rebuild our friendship, you know, in the conversation and get reacquainted in a way. And I just don't think that's ever been done before, you know, publicly or on a program.
Yeah.
To sort of cover, you know, because I was able to go through his career with him from my point of view, you know, with respect, but also go through our friendship, you know, with a sort of, you know, where the troubles were. And I had a very hard time getting in touch with him just to do that. I mean, it took me months to even get him to respond to my calls, which was one of the problems with our friendship. So
yeah.
We agreed at the end to, you know, to try to talk to each other. And we haven't since then. But I...
That's the upshot.
No, I'm kidding. We've been in touch, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, he's very busy, and I'm, you know, we have separate lives. It's hard for me to. I think sometimes when you're close with somebody and you get estranged or separated, you don't talk anymore. You sort of hold the relationship where it was when you guys were friends, and you wonder, like, you know, you don't take in full account that, you know, they've got their own life and their own problems and their own work, and, you know, it's just, you know, you're just not in that life anymore. What are you going to do? It doesn't mean you have to be enemies.
Right. But see, that to me, that's a perfect example of why I think the podcast means so much for people. Just inside in the last few days, I said, hey, you know, Mark Maron's on. I mean, I've heard from so many people from really interesting angles who are like bonkers about it. And like the Louis thing, because this was, on the one hand, it was so specific to you guys and sort of the friendship and the careers and the jealousy things. But it was also, and this is, I think, really what happens throughout the podcast a lot, it was also, for exactly those specific details, really universal and really illuminating. You know?
Well, I think that a lot of the stuff that I talk about is like that. It's my belief, really. I mean, look, I just put up a podcast the other day where I'm not happy about what happened. You know, I was in Portland, Oregon. I had an opportunity. You know, Gallagher's manager contacted me and said he was in town. He's doing an event. Could he do a guest spot on one of my shows? And I was like, no. I don't know what I'm going to do with a Gallagher on my show, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, but, you know, he can do the podcast. You know, we could, you know, I brought my stuff if he wants to record it. Now, I'd read stuff about Gallagher lately. I would not have had Gallagher on my show.
Yeah.
Because I just don't want to open that can of worms. I've heard he's an angry, you know, bitter, mean dude.
Yeah.
And I also heard he's been very racist and weird and kind of, you know, on the wrong track, you know, politically in my mind and saying very insensitive jokes. That's all I knew about him, but I couldn't resist, you know, having this conversation with him. So he came to my hotel room. I got defensive. He got defensive. He stormed out after a half hour, but I put it up there.
Yeah. Well, and even that, though, I mean, like I was saying earlier, I mean, even that, like, when I you know, in fact, I sort of stumbled on it even before you had posted it or posting about it. I just, I guess my little, you know, iPhone app somehow just, like, went to it. And it's like, oh, my God, Gallagher. And but even there, the same thing that I described earlier happened, which is It took flight pretty quickly. I mean, you know, where it went and how contentious it became is sort of a different story, perhaps. But it was just like same kind of the conversation that you've had, you know, with all kinds of other people, where, you know, you guys just started talking and it just sort of clicked in sort of a weird way. And then when you got into more of some of the things that have been happening lately, you were being lectured by Gallagher and, you know, it just kind of...
Yeah, Gallagher was telling me how I should do comedy.
Yeah, or just how comedy works, which I found, you know, interesting. But
but that's the weird thing about the podcast, Duncan, is that so many people take different things away from it. You know, I've got like, you know, 75-80% of the people that reaction to that, because it became sort of a viral thing, was like, you know, screw him, Maron did the right thing. And then other people were like, you bullied him, you should have talked to him, you made it personal. But, like, I don't know what people expect from interviews. I mean, my interviews are personal.
Sure.
And, you know, and my reaction to him became personal. Did he need to storm off? No. You know, was I pressing him hard about something that, you know, maybe did I get hung up on an issue in terms of, you know, whether or not he was being homophobic or racist or insensitive? Yeah, certainly I know a lot of comics that do, you know, inappropriate jokes. But, you know, where they're coming from and why you're doing them, you know, that's not a bad conversation to have.
No.
But honestly, the argument, it felt to me that the reason he stormed off was because I didn't want to agree with him about what he thought good comedy was.
Yeah.
That was really the interesting thing, was it really wasn't about politics. And he just, you know, had enough and whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't have to post it, and I did, and that's what happened.
No, but again, that's also part of the WTF world, is that, you know, usually the conversations are magical, but there's, you know, throughout any given conversation or the body of them, it's warts and all. You know, I mean, it's what I'm struggling with, and it's the conversation that kind of went weird, and a guy stormed out. But that's what we do.
I'm just trying to figure out whether or not I should try to get him back on the show.
Well, you know, the thing about Gallagher, this is why I was also, when I said, oh, I wouldn't have expected. But the thing a lot of people don't know, and I've had kind of a few different weird degrees of separation from him, he's like an incredibly smart guy, which you guys started to touch on with some of his weird lecturing you about photons and stuff. But he's an incredibly smart guy, and part of his wild success is, you know, just the way he figured out how to do concerts and cut out, you know, promoters and all those people and just four-wall places and make, you know, tons of dough. I mean, he's, like, got an incredible mind, but he wouldn't necessarily know it when the Sludge-O-Matic's going. But,
right.
So yeah, it'd be interesting to see if there's a part two. But yeah, just so many of the conversations really, again, just without people storming out, you know, they just do sort of start off talking shop, and which, again, is fascinating for us comedy fans, but it really typically transcends that. I mean, when you're talking to Maria Bamford, who's just a fantastic, wonderful comic, but pretty soon it was about the rage of her ex-boyfriend, and the conversation increasingly sort of becomes sort of about you and your rage, in a way.
Yeah, there's a point in that interview where you realize I'm exactly the type of man that she's running away from.
Yeah. But again, you weren't running away from acknowledging that in the conversation, which, you know, again, is part of the WTF world. And then when I just got caught up with this Mike DiStefano and talking about, you know, being HIV positive and the whole horrible, you know, situation with his wife. But, I mean, there was a huge parcel of kind of conversational territory that was singular to WTF. I mean, he hadn't discussed that stuff before, and he chose to get into that with you, and he thought that's the right place, and it was pretty pretty remarkable.
Yeah, that episode is amazing. You know, I know Mike for a few years now, and yeah, I'd heard some of that, you know, his story here and there, but I think he just wanted to talk about it in a supportive environment where it would be received with you know, empathy, and it was, you know, it's very touching, that episode, because he's at peace with where he's at.
Yeah.
And he also wants to sort of, you know, shift his comedy a little bit into a place where, you know, people will receive him in a different way, because he's sort of a hard-edged guy, you know,
yeah.
from, you know, the Bronx. He's Italian. He's got a certain way of talking and thinking.
Sure.
But, you know, he was tired of being pigeonholed, and, you know, he just wanted to open up a little bit and talk about, you know, his own, you know, experience with his wife dying of AIDS, and then of his own HIV status. And but, you know, I tell you, it's a very uplifting episode. You know,
yeah.
There's not, you know, the tragedy is tempered by a type of acceptance kind of love of his ex-wife, or his wife who passed away, and also his own situation, being sober and everything. And then we were doing that interview in a sober house that his buddy owned, the whole tone of that thing was pretty special, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And again, similarly with sort of a great sense of poignance, but again, specific and universal at the same time, the tribute that you did to sort of in fairly short order, Robert Schimmel and Greg Giraldo passed away. And, you know, those were, you know, huge losses in comedy. And one was maybe a little more shocking or abrupt than another. But I mean, the piece that you, you know, the show that you did on that was sort of such a powerful bomb for so many, you know, that were grieving. But also, if you tuned in and didn't know either guy, it would also help you, I think.
Yeah, I think that I don't always think about, you know, why or what I'm doing, you
mm-hmm.
know, and you know, those guys, you know, Giraldo and Schimmel, I mean, you know, Schimmel had been ill, so there was some expectation around it, though he didn't die of what everyone thought he might die of.
Right.
But Giraldo was just a shock to me, and, you know, I knew him, you know, pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, we definitely, you know, as well as comics know each other, you know, we'd spent time hanging out, you know, I've talked to him on the phone, you know, I liked him a lot. I had a lot of love for the guy, for both of them, actually. And just the amount of grief was that to let myself access the grief and then to turn the mics on. Because, you know, I had to say something, and I didn't want it to be glib,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want it, you know, to be a tribute, you know. So I just, you know, went out there because the deaths happened so close to one another. And I just kind of turned on the mic and just, you know, talked from my heart a bit. And then we played a couple. We played some Greg Giraldo bit,
yeah.
But it was really not. It wasn't even really a full episode. It was just sort of my feelings, and I just let them happen because I was, you know, I was alone out there with the mics, and I guess the feeling of grief or the hearing it expressed or voiced was you know, it helps people have their own, and you know, I'm glad about that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, you often see things written, you know, when people, you know, die, and you know, appreciations and cool anecdotes, and those are helpful too. But yeah, just the fact that it was speaking, and then some of those people, or at least Greg, doing a performance, it just seemed like it was a really sort of powerful, again, bomb for just a lot of sort of sore hearts at the time. So
yeah, it was sad, but you know, I think it, you know, I see, I'm learning a lot about all this stuff too as I go along, Duncan. I mean, you know, I'm not the most emotionally, you know, well-adjusted person, and you know, by putting myself out there like this and actually talking to my friends, you know, and having these hour-long conversations, it's given me a new appreciation of other people's work, of other people's feelings. Of, you know, I'm a pretty selfish guy, and I was fairly bitter and isolated and jaded, you know, for a long time. And this is sort of, as the podcast goes along, you know, hopefully I'm moving in a good direction. But then something like the Gallagher episode happens, and people are like, you know, hey, no, you were sort of, you know, you were a little off base there, you know. And I'm like, well, I don't know, you know, it happens.
Yeah, it was a real conversation. That's, you know, and it went kind of sideways. But that actually brings me to a point, because you said you're kind of self-absorbed, and you know, but here's what's really interesting is a lot of really really good comedians I found over the years, you know, do not tend to be really good listeners. I mean, they're not truly interested in other people and their stories, because they're, you know, they're really smart, and they're complicated, and they're self-absorbed, and they've got a bunch of stuff going, and they're in their head. So when or how do you think you sort of became a really good listener? Because that's pivotal, obviously, to these podcasts being, you know, as powerful and poignant as they often are.
Well, I think that, you know, honestly, I think I'm wired that way a little bit. You know, my dad is sort of a, you know, kind of a bipolar lunatic, and, you know, he never shuts up. And And I think that I'm sort of wired to be attentive to people who are, you know, number one, bipolar and crazy, but two, you know, blabbing on. So I think that there's part of me that as a kid, I sort of was locked in that way. And I think that I'd lost touch with my ability to listen, because, you know, to actively listen, you just have to focus, and you also have to be interested. And the fact is that I was the kind of kid that would always talk to everybody. I was known for that. I mean, I worked by the university in Albuquerque when I was in my teens. I talked to homeless people. I talked to anybody that was hanging around. I liked hearing people's stories, mainly because I didn't have a full sense of my own self, so I really liked to listen to people's adventures and weirdness, and especially if they were odd. So I think I just got back to that. Mm-hmm. That like I like to be entertained. I like to laugh. I like to hear people's struggles and stories. And I just focus and listen because I'm actually really interested.
Yeah.
And very rarely do I drift. You know, when I'm one-on-one, and also when I have earphones on and we're in the studio and I've got my earphones on, it makes it almost like I'm listening to them right in my head, like
sure.
People listen to the show.
Yeah.
And I find it very interesting. And by actively listening, you can sort of feel the emotional flow of the conversation and where that's going to go and kind of stay in it or change it. And I don't know where I learned it. I just think I let myself do it again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it does seem like now it's really kind of just cool instinct, among other things, that's sort of, you know, driving a lot of the conversations and where they do end up.
It's all that way because I'm not preparing much to a fault sometimes, you know.
Yeah, but that's where I think sometimes the magic happens, where you just sort of turn right and there, boom, there's something really significant between. Yeah. Well, Mark, thanks so much for making the time to join us today on Talking Animals. Gosh, let me see if I can. Okay, well, here's a quick email or two that I should probably just sneak in. Hi, does your guest have a favorite cat charity?
Do I have a favorite cat charity?
Yeah.
You know, I wish I did. I don't, you know, I don't know that I, you know, I have been the cat charity.
Right,
right.
The WTF.
I generally don't, I'm just trying to think of where that shelter we got. The Amanda, is it the Amanda Foundation?
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Is that possible, or is that a child? I can't remember where we got Boomer.
Okay. Well, we'll check that out, and maybe we'll post that when we post the archive of this, just so people can, you know, follow that lead if that's what they choose to do.
Now I don't feel like I'm a good enough cat person.
No, you're great. Oh, speaking of this, here's maybe the best email. Unfortunately, we're out of time, so I got it in this way. But here's an email from a guy that says, "We have 20 adopted strays. That's a cat ranch, pard." So, yeah, well, there you go. So, Mark Maron, thanks so much. Again, the podcast is posted twice a week. It's WTF, and to sign up and find out more, it's WTFpod.com. And hope if you hadn't heard about it or heard one before now, you'll sort of get the sense that it's really cool and magical listening. And thanks again, Mark, for everything.
Thanks, Duncan. Take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, I'm Duncan Strauss. And you are listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. We're just about to get into Name That Animal Tune, but I have a quick correction on a website I messed up when I was telling you about Dr. Neil Bernard coming in on the 27th to give a talk. You can find out more information at floridavoicesforanimals.org. floridavoicesforanimals.org. So I dropped part of that. I apologize. So anyways, we are at Name That Animal Tune. There'll be a prize, a T-shirt from last year's Talking Animals Festival for the first person who can calls in 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals.
Bloom. Animals strike curious poses.
Okay. Got all kinds of people. All the lines are lit. Let's take them in the order they came. Hi, you're on WNF. Can you name an animal tune? It's Talking Animals.
Yeah, this is Joe.
Jeff?
Joe.
Oh, Joe. Sorry. Go ahead.
And it's When Doves Cry.
Absolutely. That is the animal tune we were hearing. Okay, cool. I'm going to put you back on hold, Joe, and we will get your information and get you off a Talking Animals Festival t-shirt. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Okay, so we are going to have a little chat I mentioned earlier in the show with Jennifer Anderson. She's the program director of Animal Coalition of Tampa, and the ACT has some cool events coming up, including one we want to specifically talk about this month, and then, of course, they're doing some things at the Talking Animals Festival. So we are going to introduce Jennifer. Jennifer, are you there?
I am. Hi, how you doing?
Good. Welcome to Talking Animals. Thanks so much for joining us today. And so, first of all, let's quickly find out a little bit about you. You are the program director of ACT and, relatively recent, I think, Lee joined there. So maybe just give us the nickel tour of what that involves.
Well, yeah, I actually started with ACT back in September of 2009, and I just absolutely fell in love with it, and I was given the opportunity to start the development department, so we're really excited. I'm actually the first person in this department, so it's all about building it up and getting that development department going. We're hoping to add some staff to that. Soon when we get that strategic plan in play. But right now it's just a lot of fun, and I'm learning a lot and enjoying myself.
Cool. And we should probably tell people who may not necessarily know that when people talk, at least organizations like that, about development, that usually means, kind of raising funds and sort of helping the organization beef up those areas and expand their efforts.
Correct, yeah. Cool. Right now we're just doing, working on a lot of fundraising ideas, working on our annual fundraiser, Stride for Strays, coming up in October, so we still have a little bit of time, but we're planning now.
Sure, and then more immediately, we can't really talk about the price exactly, but I will figure out a way we can handle this, but tell us about this Neuterathon coming up this month.
Well, it's something that, it's really cool event. It is on February 19th and 20th, Saturday and Sunday. And it is a neuterathon, and it is just for male cats, neuterathon, male cats. So that's it, just male cats. And we are hoping to do 500 male cats in 2 days.
Wow. Wow, wow.
Very, very, very good price.
Right. Now, I will just say that, I cannot announce the price on air, but right. I can just say that if you had, like, say, in one hand, you had a dollar for each finger, you could probably go to the Neuterathon. So that's
probably.
Yeah. So that's, that's awesome. And why, if you've been thinking, hey, we really got to get that guy, neutered over here, but we just can't swing it financially. This is your time, February 19 and 20. And that takes place at ACT, correct?
It takes place at ACT. Can I give out a phone number to call?
Please, absolutely. That'd be great,
okay.
Jennifer.
Okay. It's 250-1234. Call that number, and we'll get back to you and get an appointment for you.
Great. So basically, when you call there, you kind of leave a message, and then somebody calls them back to set a specific appointment for the procedure. So
right.
Cool. Now, also, in a little more self-serving vein, shocking, I guess we'd like to talk a little bit about the Talking Animals Festival, because ACT has really sort of been an early supporter when this was just kind of a half-baked idea that we had a little more than a year ago. And so last year, there was low-cost microchipping, very low cost, and once again, ACT has been kind enough to agree to provide that. So I think in this case, since it is a WNF thing, I think I can say that it's $10 microchipping, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jennifer, but I think if you took, your cat or dog to the vet for microchipping, you would expect to pay, $50-$60 easily for that, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, at ACT, it's $20-$25. So either way, you're getting a great, great deal going to this Talking Animals Festival, and you get to enjoy all the festivities that are going on. It's a great, great place to go.
Wow, I thought I was full of it. Thanks, Jennifer. That's even more a sprawling endorsement than I would have ever imagined. So that's great. Well, cool. Well, so the Neuterathon is February 19 and 20. Just call 250-1234, and they'll call you back within an appointment. The website is actampa.org for all kinds of information about what they do over there. And, Jennifer, thanks so much for making the time. And if not before, we'll see you at the Talking Animals Festival.
Well, thank you, Duncan. I appreciate it. We'll see you there.
All right, cool. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. Again, we're now airing every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to noon, so we'll be back next Wednesday, February 9th, when our guest will be Dr. Jennifer Conrad, founder of the Paw Project, which seeks to raise awareness about the problems with declawing cats and promotes legislation to help outlaw that practice. So I hope you'll join me then. I also hope you'll visit our website, talkinganimals.net. Keep an eye out for updates and announcements about the Talking Animals Festival and other info. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant is Libby McKenna. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And stay tuned for the fabulous Scott Elliott with the All Souls version of It's the Music, airing every Wednesday now from noon to 3. So we're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. And this is brand new music from Iron and Wine with Rabbit Will Run, taking us to the NPR News and Scott Elliott and his great, great show right here on WMNF Tampa. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next Wednesday on Talking Animals.
Last I saw mother, she rose from a chair. When they caught me, I just finished combing my hair. Cause a rabbit will run, and the cold doesn't long with the mare. All down the earth while we carry the throne. We go under the rivers and under our clothes. And I still have a prayer, sure as my settling bones. Last I saw mother, she covered my ears. When they caught me, I offered the captain a beer. Cause a rabbit will run, and the lion has nothing to fear. Rigged up the garden, you know what it means. And we've all kissed the virgin as if she were clean. I still have a prayer, despite all the colors I've seen. Just like a cup that we share, I'll jump over the wall and I'll wait for you there. Well past the weeds and our vision of things to come. All heard the rooster and all been denied. We see through the haze and the spit in our eyes. And I still have a prayer, well with a word to the world. Captain, he opened my nose. Cause a rabbit will run, and the wind takes a bird where it blows. All traded lovers and woke up alone. And we clapped for the king, though our fingers were cold. I still have a prayer, cause I love what I cannot control. Children, we thought we betrayed. just like a cub that we share. I'll jump over the wall and I'll wait for you there. Well past the weeds and our vision of things to come. Oh, and we've all found the reason for hiding the gun. We've helped out a few if we've hurt anyone. I still have a prayer, so be it, I've done what I've done. Cut the blood from my wrists, cause a rabbit will run and a pig has to lay in its piss. For giving half to the hand in our face, we've all taken a stone from the holiest place. And I still have a prayer, now further the world in my way.